Finishing early, that just means I'm going to speak twice as fast. Not really. I want to talk this morning, really simply just look at some scriptures together and home in on a particular point. I find it really helpful. I hope that we do. And it's simply this. I want to talk about a topsy-turvy kingdom. A topsy-turvy kingdom. If anybody would like to give me the Greek for topsy-turvy, then feel free. But we have come to know and understand a topsy-turvy, an upside-down kingdom. And I want to look at that just really quickly, see why that is true, and hopefully it is encouraging and it builds us up. So, in the book of Acts, the followers of Jesus were accused of turning the world upside down. Wonderful. It's great to be amongst people within time and space where God has done something, and because of what God has done, consequently, they've turned the world upside down. He continues to do that. He continues to turn the world upside down. And this is exactly what God does. He has a kingdom. Now, he has a kingdom. He has a kingdom, and this kingdom is so different from the world. It is so different from the society that we live in. It seems as if everything in this kingdom is back to front and it's upside down. And in fact, it is all in perfect order. God's order. And we begin to see through different eyes, and we begin to see that which I thought was the right way up is in fact upside down. We've come into a topsy-turvy kingdom. Don't you love it? I do. I'm really grateful. The one that I used to live in didn't do me any good at all. And so to come into a world that has been completely turned upside down is wonderful and liberating. We need to adjust to a different way of living, a different way of looking, a way where the weak are strong. Amen. A way where the weak are strong, leaders are servants. That's topsy-turvy kingdom. A place where wealth can be a hindrance, where humility is a strength, where truth is a person, where racial boundaries are removed. We love our enemies. That is topsy-turvy. We love our enemies. Family, not money, makes the world go round. When it comes to the kingdom of God, it can take a while to adjust. And for our minds to be renewed, and to value the valuable. To value the valuable, you have to begin to see that which is of value. And when you see that which is of true worth and of true value, you begin to value it. You begin to see differently. And that which you used to value, suddenly it doesn't seem very valuable anymore. I've got a completely different perspective, and that which I am now seeing has taken on a completely new dimension for me. It's wonderful. God turns our lives upside down, and we see things completely differently. Now, I will run out of time, but there is a wonderful example of this, and I want to look at it briefly with us this morning. So this is from the Gospel of Matthew. Now, what I was going to do this morning is have a visual aid. And there was a number of people that needed to join in this visual aid. But because it's still August, half of them aren't here. So we'll use our imaginations and I'll use words instead. And we'll see how it goes. So we're just going to read down. This is Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to read down from the beginning, first few verses. And it says this. Just enjoy this passage of scripture, what is happening here It's beautiful. It's quite funny in some ways. But just enjoy this. And he says this, at that time, the disciples, so those who were following Jesus, those who knew him, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself. Who then is the greatest? And Jesus, he calls a child to himself. And he sets him, the child, before them, before his disciples, and said, truly, I say to you, unless you are converted, unless you are changed, unless you repent and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You will not enjoy the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the followers of Jesus, they want to know, I'm thinking, who asked this question? Probably a bloke. Probably a bloke. Blokes, generally speaking, excuse me for this gender distinction, but generally blokes, they want to know who is the best. Who's the best? Who's the greatest? So I'm thinking probably it might have been a bloke who asked this question. And so they want to know who is the greatest, who is the best. And this, for me, as we read this, as we look at this, this is what we might call a real kingdom moment. This is just like, here's an opportunity. This is a real kingdom moment. An opportunity for Jesus to teach something about how his kingdom functions. They're asking a question, possibly from a wrong perspective. And Jesus has got an opportunity in this moment to change their minds. And he takes it. And he takes it in a beautiful way. So, I want us to, what we're going to have to do now is imagine. We're going to use our imaginations. God has given them to us. And we're going to imagine this scene. So we've got some disciples. We've got some disciples coming to Jesus and they've gathered around. So one of these disciples was Johnny. Okay? So we're thinking about greatness. What is greatness? Okay? Great man, Johnny. So Johnny, he comes. Now Johnny, in Johnny's life, he's a great man. One of the reasons for this is Johnny is good at sport. Johnny's always, pretty much from birth, like Johnny has excelled at sport. He enjoys that fact, and he was a professional golfer. He's still locally showing everybody how it's done. He is excellent at what he does. Johnny is a great man. He's also a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. But he is a great man. So we've got Johnny. He's gathered together. Now, Jeff isn't here this morning. But Jeff, I'd have to say, Jeff is an older man. Now, in some cultures and contexts, by the very fact that he's an older man, he would be considered a greater man. He would be given honor and respect. And he is a great man. So we've got Jeff coming into this scene. Not only is Jeff an older man, but Jeff has an incredible ability to retain information. Have you noticed? He really does. And I stand aghast. Jeff's ability to retain information is incredible, genuinely. And if you want to know particularly about antiques, particularly again about antique clocks, Jeff is your man. He knows everything that there is to know about antique clocks. So in the world of antiques and a whole host of other things, Jeff is a great man. Okay, so we've got Jeff. I'll try and do this quickly. Chris, don't know if Chris is here this morning, but Chris is a bit of a traveller. Chris has gone on his own, so he's got courage. He's a great man. He goes on his own, and he explores different countries. He's been to all sorts of places, and he could regale you with stories of distant lands. He is a great man. So we've got Chris. We've got David. David is here this morning. David is an anaesthetist. a word that I can barely say, but that man, he has the ability to put people asleep for as long as he chooses to, and then awake them again, and all kinds of things have happened whilst they were asleep. He is indeed a great man. So we have gathered together a number of great men. And these disciples, they're earnestly coming to Jesus. And within the context of these great men gathered to find out who is the greatest, do you realize that in all of those different people, different things are represented as greatness? And depending on our perspective, we will value and attribute greatness to different ones. It might be sport. It might be arts, it might be science, it might be travel, it might be all kinds of different things, but depending on our perspective, we will attribute greatness differently. And into this context, Jesus brings Lucas. Lucas, my little friend over there, and me and Lucas have been spending some time together this week, and he's also in the making a great man. But Jesus brings Lucas, he brings a child, he brings a babe within the context of these men. And he points to the child and he said, you want to know what greatness is in the kingdom, this topsy-turvy kingdom? Here's a child. And the child is there representing something which I think is really important for us this morning. And I think when the Lord did this, he must have had a smile on his face when he brought that child, a babe, and set that child right in the middle of them all. And in effect, he was saying, I want to turn your world upside down. I want to turn your world upside down. I want to change your thinking and give you a completely different perspective on life and on greatness and on the kingdom. And he said, whoever humbles himself as a child is the greatest in the kingdom. What is it about a child or what a child represents which is of such value to Jesus? Probably a number of things, but one thing that I want to highlight, and partly because this word that I'm going to use is found within the word in reference to a child, in reference to a babe. And it's this word about children. Children, babes, are unsophisticated. Unsophisticated, have you noticed? I have my children in relation to me. They are pretty unsophisticated. Now, the Bible is holding that up as a good thing. Unsophisticated, meaning this, lacking refined worldly knowledge. Unsophisticated, lacking refined worldly knowledge. Or we could say this, not proud, not haughty, not puffed up by my own intelligence. And I look down my nose at you all. Wonderful. But actually, children, what is portrayed, what is being given of value is honest, simple, childlike faith and confidence in Father. Honest, simple, childlike faith and confidence in Father. There is a relational aspect to greatness. It's wonderful, isn't it? There is a relational aspect to greatness. I had a really good example of this week while we were away. There was a lady, and she shared a testimony, and she was just a little thing, but she had like the heart of a lion, but she was like really little, petite, little lady. And she gave a testimony, and she talked in her South London accent, a bit like this. And she said, she talked about Jesus assignments. She had Jesus assignments, and she was telling this story about a Jesus assignment that she had. And so what this meant was, in her very real, very strong, simple, childlike humility, she went about her day going shopping, going to Costa in it. So she went to Costa one day, and she sat down. And on the table just across from her, there was a young woman with her children just sitting there. And she feels provoked in herself by the Lord Jesus. And she feels provoked to go and talk to this woman. She doesn't really know why. How am I going to connect with this woman? I've never met her before, but she feels provoked by the Lord Jesus. Simple, childlike faith to reach out to this woman. One of her little kids drops something on the floor, so it's like moment. So she takes the little toy, gives it back to the child, enters into conversation with the mother, and is just talking about the lady's children and just saying, oh, you've got such beautiful kids. They're of such value to you. They're wonderful. They're lovely. She's just kind of affirming her family and talking to her and connecting with this woman. And then the conversation goes on, and then at one point the woman, she says to her, like, why have you said these things to me in the very moment where that is exactly what I need to hear? Exactly what I need to hear. Why? Because actually what was going on in this woman's life, which my friend was not aware of, was domestic violence, and she'd just fled. And she didn't know what to do, where to go, and she somehow felt provoked of God to go to Costa. Let's go to a coffee shop and sit down. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm sitting on a chair, and my children are here. But what's going on? I don't know. And there it was, a moment. And what was the strength in that moment? Simple, childlike faith in the Father. And he provoked something by his Spirit. She reaches out. That woman, she came to know Jesus. As a consequence of what? Simple, childlike faith. Hold it up. Simple, childlike faith. Obedience to the Father. It turns people's worlds upside down. Incredible. In some Costa coffee shop in South London. It's wonderful. God at work through simple, childlike faith and confidence, and he turns the world upside down. It's wonderful. I'm recommending it for us this morning. Have a Jesus assignment. Oh, I feel challenged by that. God is at work in our lives and through us, reaching out to other people. I want to be sensitive to him and bold to step out and take those moments. Come as a child. Do you know there's a connection here? I will stop in a minute. There's a connection here. We must come as children to the Father. First, primarily, we come as children to the Father. What we discover as we come as children in this way to Father, we are then enabled to go out as warriors. You will not go out spiritually as a warrior if you do not come to Jesus as a child, because that is where our strength, our greatness lies, in coming to him, simple, childlike faith. So here it is. Let me finish. There is, in fact, a Christian maturity that refuses to outgrow childlike simplicity. Amen. There is, in fact, a Christian maturity that refuses to outgrow childlike simplicity. Wonderful. I've finished.